Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew. We are live for the next half hour taking your calls. Across the United States and Canada, that number 877-655-6755. We've got open lines right now and availability for you. Very little wait. 877-655-6755. If you have a question tonight about a scripture passage, maybe there's something you heard in church recently, or perhaps chatting with a friend in a coffee shop or in a Bible study, and you're still scratching your head wondering, well, let's make it a conversation together right now. 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, please know we love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. If you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past about something else on your mind, but you've got something new for us tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, that number with wide-open lines and plenty of room, 877-655-6755. Well, just a reminder that it's happening this weekend in Ontario, Canada, in the Niagara region. It is the Relaxing with God Conference. If you're not registered for this event yet and you'd like to be a part of it, well, it is not too late. You can register today or tomorrow, or even walk into the event on Saturday morning and register right there at Central Community Church in St. Catharines, Ontario. So if you're interested in being a part of this event, we would love to see you there as like-minded believers from all over Canada, all over the United States, and beyond gather together for this Relaxing with God conference. We're going to probe the depths of God's grace, discover what it means to be a totally forgiven person with a brand new identity in Christ, and how to be led by God's Spirit. So it's going to be a beautiful time together. There'll be time for interactive Q&A. Whatever questions are on your mind, we would love to hear from you at this event. So come and join us for the Relaxing with God conference. It's happening this Saturday, this weekend, right in the Niagara region of Ontario, Canada. For all the information you need, you can go to our website. That's andrewfarley.org. andrewfarley.org. Right there on the homepage, you'll see the Relaxing with God conference banner. Click on that banner and you'll have everything you need. Hope to see you there. Well, why don't we start out in Roanoke, Virginia tonight, and we'll talk with Jim. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's on your mind, Jim?
Well, I want to say I'm enjoying some Andrew Farley books from Audible.com. I fall asleep when I read, so I really like those Audible audio versions. I listened to the Naked Gospel, and I've also heard you make some commentary. And so with Adam and Eve, God had warned them to not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And, of course, you know the story. They went on ahead and they did that anyway. And it seemed like, as I read, that, they were desiring that thing. It looked good. It tasted. They thought it would be good for food. And so certainly they had to have known that God had warned them to not, at least Adam. And so I wonder about, did they covet after that? Was there covetousness working there? So I just wonder how. I know you had made a comment about they weren't necessarily up to no good. They were wanting to do something good. And so I'm trying to can you give some more understanding to that?
Sure, yeah. Well, I don't want anyone to misunderstand. I mean, clearly, if you're rebelling against God, that's not good. That's not of God. That's not true godliness. But what I think is not taught very often, at least, and is sometimes ignored, is that, Jim, they were trying to be godly. I mean, that was the sales pitch of Satan. that in the day you eat of this, you will be like whom? You will be like God. So that was the sales pitch. They were suckers for that sales pitch of self-improvement. And they were saying, man, if I eat of this, then I'm going to be like the God who created me. I'm finally going to be able to see what is good and what is evil. Why would I want that? Well, of course, so that I could do good and avoid evil. So that was the deception. It was a deception of you need to discern good from evil so that you can do good and avoid evil, and then you will be more and more and more godly through what you do. Now remember their situation. They were created perfect. They lived in a perfect world. There was no fallen state yet. Everything was fine. They were walking with God in the cool of the day. Everything was perfect. And then they decided to measure themselves. And that really was the first sin, was they were deciding they were at a deficit. They chose not to believe God, that they were complete and lacking nothing and perfect and that he was enough. And so Satan comes to them and says, surely God did not say this, right? You're not going to die. You know what it is? God just doesn't want you to be like him. And so if you eat of this, you will be like him. You'll be better than you are now. It'll be better than what you experience today. There's another level, and you can get to that next level of godliness. You'll see good from evil. You'll be able to do good and avoid evil. You will engage in morality and ethics, and you will improve yourself. This will be self-improvement, self-actualization, and you will be Lord of that ring around you, and you will achieve morality and ethics and godliness like never before. I mean, that was essentially Satan's sales pitch. He didn't say, come and do this evil thing. That wasn't his pitch. He didn't say, come and rebel against God and do something wicked. No, he appealed to them on the basis of self-improvement religion, if you will. Hey, adopt this rule book. Adopt this right and wrong book. Adopt these principles. Judge for yourself what you should look like, and you'll end up more and more godly, more like God. And with that, they were sunk. So, you know, I hope that brings the clarity. We're always thinking of sin as lying and cheating and stealing and heinously and shockingly evil-looking stuff on the outside. But we need to remember, who was it that Jesus called a brood of vipers? Who was it that he called whitewashed tombs? Well, it was the religious elite of his day who were engaged in a very similar self-improvement based on rules of good and evil, trying to look good, not trying to look evil, but trying to look good in front of other people. And this was the sin in the garden. And so, you know, they get out this measuring stick. They eat of the fruit. They decide they're at a deficit. They realize they're naked. And what is the first human experience after that judgment? They made a judgment call on themselves, deemed themselves to be wanting, then discovered their nakedness, and then it says they were ashamed. So shame came right in. And when we humans measure ourselves, measure our worth, measure our value, and try to determine where we stand, well, we're always going to end up in shame. Now, God had mercy on them, and his first move was to clothe them in animal skins. He had mercy on them. He didn't want them to feel this shame. But his question to them was very interesting, Jim. He says, who told you that you were naked? Now, how long have they been naked, Jim? I mean, they've been naked the whole time. But who is it that told you there was something wrong with that? Who told you that you were lacking? Who told you that you were missing something? Who told you that you should feel shame about this because it didn't come from me, God might say? And so for so long, they had walked naked in the garden and felt no shame about it. They felt confident. They felt secure. Everything was A-OK. But you notice, when a system of rules and regulations came in, it judged them, it measured them, they fell short, and immediately they experienced shame. Now, I hope we can see the parallels for today. I mean, here we are in Christ. We don't live in a perfect world, but we are perfect in Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews that by one offering you've been made perfect. It says you're holy. It says you're blameless. It says that we have everything we need for life and godliness. We're not lacking anything. We're complete in Him. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And then legalism comes knocking on our door saying, you need more. It's great that you're a Christian, but now you need this gift. It's great that you're a Christian, but now you need a second blessing. It's great that you're a Christian, but now you need to obey the law. It's great that you're a Christian, but now you need this because you're lacking, and you could get more godly, and you could be more like God if you would just add this into the mix. And it's the same sales pitch today as it was those many years ago in the Garden of Eden. So the first humans were suckers for the sales pitch of self-improvement. And if we're not careful, if we're not resting in our completeness in Christ, if we're not realizing our identity, if we don't know our forgiveness, if we don't recognize the perfect closeness and the perfect cleanness that we have as a free gift, then we're going to go shopping for more godliness, shopping for getting closer, more closeness, more cleanness. And religiosity is happy to offer us 10 ways to do it. So, Jim, those are my thoughts on the fall of humanity. It's very different than we might first believe. We imagine those humans engaging in something just openly rebellious and awful and wicked-looking. But really, the first sin was trying to get more godly, trying to self-improve, trying to adopt a system, a religious system, if you will, of morality and ethics. Think about the two trees in the garden. There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then there was the tree of life. And, you know, it just kind of makes me think, well, wait a minute. Imagine some guy, he's hanging on the good branch of that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, he's on the good branch, hanging on tight, looking over there at the guy on the bad branch, saying, thank you, God, that I am not that guy over there on the bad branch. And then God says, psst, hey, it's the wrong tree, man. It doesn't matter if it's the good branch or the evil branch. It's the wrong tree. We are designed to get life from Jesus Christ. The tree of life is where we should dwell. And this guy's saying it's better to be on the good branch than the bad branch. It's the wrong tree. And so when they ate of that tree, they ate of religiosity, they ate of self-improvement, they ate of morality and ethics instead of trusting the Spirit of life. And that is the very same Spirit that we have living in us today through Jesus Christ. Jim, thanks for your call today. Reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, well, let's go now to Paul, listening in Ontario, Canada. Hey, Paul, what have you got for us tonight?
How are you tonight, Andrew?
Hey, doing well. What's on your heart, sir?
Well, I just wanted to say I'm looking forward to meeting you in 2 days. I'll be at the conference on Saturday.
Oh, great.
With my wife. So
great.
Really excited. Yeah, we were just talking about it today at lunch and just really excited about coming and being with like-minded believers, for sure.
Yeah,
following up a little bit, Andrew, actually, on the last call about, you know, religiosity and stuff, there's a few other, there's a few pastors I listen to, and good guys and stuff, but I notice every once in a while, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, but they speak a lot on fasting. And then, of course, the other one, Andrew, and I know you've spoken on this quite a bit, is the rewards. You know,
yeah.
And for me, I find it a little bit hard. I lose a little bit of my, I don't like to let this happen, but sometimes I lose a little bit of my comfort or my comfort and my relaxing in God. I lose a little bit of that
right. When
I say, you know, think to myself, well, gee, Paul, you're not fasting. And gee, Paul, I'm not sure about these rewards. And I know, like you've many times said, the reward is not plural. The reward is, and I know, reward is my freedom in Christ. I mean, my salvation. That is my reward.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts, Andrew? I could have saved these till Saturday, but I thought I'd call you tonight and say I'm looking forward to meeting.
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. And first, let me say I'm looking forward to meeting you at the conference. I'm so glad you're coming. So please make a point to introduce yourself and look forward to chatting with you. But as far as your question, it's interesting. I mean, you know, some people might hear you say, well, I'm losing my comfort. I'm losing my relaxing with God. And some Christians out there might say, well, you should be. I'm so glad you are, because you should never settle. You should never rest. You should never find comfort. You're not supposed to be in your comfort zone, Paul. You got to get busy and do more and be more. Well, all right, let's talk about this. Is that what the Bible really says regarding fasting and these sort of issues? Well, let's look at every instance in every New Testament epistle concerning the word fast. Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians 15, if you hold fast the word. Philippians 2, holding fast the word of life. Colossians 2, not holding fast to the head, that is Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word in accordance with our teaching. Hebrews 3, if we hold fast our confidence. Hebrews 3 again, if we hold fast our assurance. Hebrews 4, hold fast our confession. Hebrews 10, hold fast the confession of our hope. And then you get into Revelation, hold fast my name, hold fast until I come, hold fast what you have. Now we're done. That is every instance of the word fast in the entire New Testament letters, all the epistles. So if you're hearing a ton of preaching about fasting, abstaining from food, my question is, why? When Peter didn't pen a word about it, when the writings of Paul, Peter, James, and John and all of their New Testament epistles don't say a word about it, why are we talking about abstaining from food, especially when we talk about it like it's some extra level, like we're going to get more prayers answered, like we're going to get God's attention in a greater way? The New Testament letters do not talk that way. Now, sure, you can find the Jewish people, the early church, the Jewish side of that. They have engaged in a ritual of fasting, abstaining from foods. And you say, well, what were they doing? Were they trying to earn points? No. Were they trying to get their prayers heard? No. They're not pagans dancing around a fire trying to get God's attention in order to get a good crop that year. No, they're fasting because food was really the only entertainment. I mean, there were feasts and festivals and all kinds of festivities going on where food was the major attraction. And if you wanted to focus and not be distracted, you took a break from all that and you devoted yourself to prayer. And that's fine and that's good. And don't hear me wrong, we're free to do that. But you're also free to take a day off work. You're free to take a day off jogging. You're free to take a day off of anything if you feel like you're losing focus. But it's not about earning points, and it's not about getting prayers answered. And there's not a single New Testament letter that urges these Gentile Christians to do it. And so I think it's way out of proportion here. I mean, the number one use of the word fast, you heard them all, I just quoted them. The number one use of the word fast in these New Testament letters is urging us to hold fast to the word of God. So I would say that's where we need to be majoring. We need to be holding fast to the word of God. So all of these, well, these teachings that are making you feel guilty, Paul, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I mean, you're free. You're free to eat. You're free not to eat. The idea that abstaining from food or abstaining from marriage or any sort of harsh treatment of the body, Colossians chapter 2, that a harsh treatment of the body is going to be some sort of means to godliness or some sort of means to abstaining from sin is preposterous. It is the fruit of the Spirit and the Spirit Himself that gives us that victory over sin. It is not our choice to avoid a hamburger that is going to somehow give us victory over sin. So that's my thought on fasting. I hope that helps to some degree. And Paul, let me put you back on and see if that helps with regard to fasting. Does that give you some clarity?
Yeah, for sure, Andrew. And I did. I wasn't letting it bother me that much. It's just that I just wondered why. A lot of it, what I heard was sometimes, you know, to almost make prayer more fervent, you know, like, and that's kind of the reasons I heard. So yes, but that cleared it up very much, Andrew. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So and Paul, I look forward to again seeing you at the conference. And concerning reward, I mean, that was the second part of your question. The word reward in the New Testament letters is singular. It's not plural. It's not about collecting square footage in heaven for your mansion. It's not about collecting jewelry or crowns. Yes, there's a crown of life, but who is your life? Jesus. Yes, there's a crown of righteousness mentioned, but who is your righteousness? Jesus. So the idea that we're going to stack crowns on our head, just not going to happen. Even the 24 elders in a dream, what did they do? They threw their crowns like frisbees at Jesus' feet. So I don't think these crowns are anything to focus on, especially when we already have life and righteousness in Jesus Christ. So Paul says that we have an inheritance. He calls it the reward of our inheritance. And you don't earn an inheritance. Somebody dies and gives it to you. That's what an inheritance is. So I don't buy the idea that we're collecting loot or collecting certificates available in, you know, redeemable in heaven's gift shop or anything. It's not about jewelry or square footage. It's not about materialism in heaven. It's really about Jesus. And Paul said everything else is dung next to knowing Christ. So, Paul, again, thanks for your question tonight, and reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. Well, let's go now to Bobby listening in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Bobby.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, good. We got just a minute, so what's on your mind tonight?
Well, my main question is, if I'm, you know, looking to start really digging into the Bible, where could I start?
Okay.
Do I start at the beginning? I grew up in church, and, you know, children's church, they taught us all the, you know, the stories, the Bible stories and everything.
Yeah, all right. Well, first of all, hang on the line. Don't go anywhere, and we'll send you a free gift. I do want to send you Relaxing with God. That's a book that we're super excited about right now with our conference coming up. So I'll get you a copy of Relaxing with God. It's filled with scripture. But to answer your question, you know, I would start in the Gospel of John. And as you look in the Gospel of John, you're going to find all the I am statements, the things that Jesus said about himself, that he was the way, that he is the truth, he is the life, that he's the gate, the door, that he's the resurrection and the life. And we see all of these statements that Jesus makes about who he is to us personally. And then, of course, we see, well, his life, his teachings, his death, his burial. We see his resurrection after that. So I would start with the Gospel of John, and then I would say, you know, for an epistle, Ephesians is short and to the point and pretty powerful. So I would encourage you to look at the Gospel of John, then look at Ephesians, and then when you're done with Ephesians, maybe Romans 5-8. My goodness, you can't go wrong there. So powerful. That passage of Scripture is off the charts, unbelievable. So maybe first the Gospel of John, then the book of Ephesians, and then Romans 5-8. So, Bobby, hang on the line there. We'll send you a free gift. So glad that you are in Christ as a believer now and wanting to learn more and more about God's Word. We'll get you this gift. It's called Relaxing with God. It's all about the finished work of Jesus Christ, what it means to be a totally forgiven person with your sins not progressively being forgiven, but taken away once for all. And what it means to have a new heart, a new spirit, and God's Spirit living in you. To be a brand new creation with new passions and desires on the inside, led by God's Spirit in an environment of freedom and grace, living and giving from the heart. That's what it's about.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.